It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
I did have the wonder in my mind, did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought?
You serious?
Get out.
The drought.
Out,
look
leave.
Back
go
at the
home,
drought.
Go home.
The drought was fun.
You're dismissed. It's very fun to watch the Bills lose to Cleveland 6-3.
I mean,
that was really fun. It was really fun to watch Doug Marrone punt in Miami down 10 points with 6 minutes left. These were all very fun things.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, Spoon was just in town. This is the band Spoon. They played the two nights ago.
Oh, but the where were
no,
they?
No. I don't know where. I know a buddy. I know a buddy that was going. And anyway, I did not go. I should have.
You went to Borderland over the weekend, right?
Yeah.
I've talked to maybe three people that went to that, and each person I've talked to is like, oh, I should have went. Everyone seems like they have a great time every time.
It's a very good vibe.
Yeah.
It's a hillside sitting on blankets with families if you're far enough back. And if you want to get closer to the stage, you go closer to the stage.
Yeah.
It was great. My wife had been before, I had not. And I agreed to go whenever she wants now. With the family,
all
the
right.
Whole fam-damily, as they say.
Yep.
Anyway. Hey, good morning. It's Tuesday. Speaking of droughts, Jeremy and Joe.
It's Thursday.
Thursday. Thank you. Speaking of droughts.
You got the first letter right. Go ahead.
It's true. I did. You know, and
the day of the week clock.
I got a day of the week clock out.
We do have it.
I was out for one day. It's Thursday. What I was eager to get to is there might actually be water that falls from the sky a little bit today.
Somewhere. Come on.
Presumably somewhere, maybe a sprinkle.
I'm supposed to get out on the course today.
Oh, it's not gonna stop you.
Okay. That's good.
The report this morning was maybe.
Yeah, we haven't had. When's the last time it rained?
I have no idea. The last time it rained.
The last time it rained was weeks.
I mean, it's been a while.
Maybe.
Because I know when I'm cleaning up the house and picking up at night, I ask Google, like, is it gonna? Because I got to know what children's toys I've got to put away.
Okay.
Before, if I can just leave them out and leave the backyard to be a mess. And I haven't had to pick anything up in a while. So the backyard is...
All right.
It's in a certain state because of the kids. But yeah, it might sprinkle, but probably not enough to move anything.
All right. That's good. That's good.
Sure.
Have we checked for Monday night's forecast? Are we jinxing ourselves?
Monday night looks great.
When we're all outside. Yep. Beautiful.
Passing a little bit of rain maybe on Saturday. Next week we could get some, but Monday night looks great.
Oh, yeah. Low 60s. Oh, man. This is going to be an elite weather day for Bills and Jaguars.
Another one.
This has been like the perfect combination of it's a little warm during the day, and then it's like a nice chill at night.
Yep.
This is fall. It's a great start to fall.
It's perfect. It has been great.
Don't get me wrong. I'm ready for my 58 and, just a little overcast with no precipitation. I do like that. That's more hoodie and shorts. We're not wearing hoodies.
Not yet.
Right now. I mean, you are wearing long sleeves.
I'm
like
wearing
a quarter zip right
now.
But, yeah, I'm not broken into the hoodies really yet.
Quarter zip is often between the T-shirt and the hoodie. If you're the hierarchy of what you're wearing, quarter zip is a little less fall. But on the way to fall, as opposed to the hoodie, which is like full fall.
I am more investing in the thinner hoodies, though, that are almost basically just long sleeve T-shirts with a hood on the back.
Yeah, a hood that you would almost never use.
Right.
In what circumstance would you put it up?
I think it would look ridiculous, even if I needed it or wanted it. I might still not do it just because I feel like it would look ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
well, good morning. We've got a big show today. Sal coming up at 7 as we gear up for Bills and Jaguars on Monday Night Football. Paul Hamilton at 7:30 to recap the first practice of Sabres training camp. Howard picks the Bills today, and Scott Pianowski will chat some fantasy football as we do on Thursdays. We'll also get our three-way parlay going for Jets and Patriots tonight.
I'm excited for it.
I'm
excited for tonight.
This is a game I'm eager to see because the Patriots are, I don't know, the Patriots are not far from being 2-0, by the way.
Oh, they're vertical. Were they even ahead
overtime.
In that game against Seattle?
And they have the ball in overtime against Seattle.
Yeah.
So the Patriots have played well, and the Jets have been unimpressive to this point.
Yeah.
If New England wins this game, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers and the Jets will say, relax again, but there will be no relaxing if they're behind New England in the standings.
No. New York doesn't relax, I think, like Green Bay probably relaxes. Just a guess.
Probably not. And again, he hasn't done much winning there, so he doesn't have that to lean back on. But it'll be interesting to see. And I'm eager to see what Rodgers looks like, because in the two games I've seen him play so far, I think he looks like a limited game manager.
Yeah.
So that's tonight.
And he's playing, I think the one thing New England is good at is they're probably going to have a pretty good defense all year.
Yep.
Right? I don't know if they're going to be able to score more than 15 points a game, but their defense should be pretty good. So, all right, I guess the thing the Jets have been really good at so far is their line is holding up. Like, they need to protect Rodgers. Like, he can't move, and he's not going to be able to – he's not going to react well to pressure this season. But so far, I guess that's actually been pretty good. Like, that line that is injury-prone is healthy and is playing pretty well, but New England might be their biggest challenge yet. Although yeah. Jeffrey Simmons, I guess, would have been a pretty big challenge too.
Yeah.
And Nick Bosa. So far, so good on that front. But still, like, the ball's coming out quick, and it's game manager Rodgers. And what's a game manager do against a really good defense? Usually it's like, what's he going to score tonight? 20 points?
What would they take? 24?
Against New England and Brissett, I feel like you'd...
You would take it?
You'd want to take 24.
You'd like to believe that the Jets' defense is back, but that's also been missing in action for quite some time.
Yep, they got a little... They gave up over 300 yards, I think, to the Titans' offense. Like, it was the Titans gave the ball to them a couple times. Or Will Levis gave the ball to them, really, a couple of times. So, yeah, interesting matchup. And if New England wins, like, I'd expect panic in the streets for the Jets, which will be very fun to watch leading into, like, we'll have 2 days of that between tonight and Sunday, which will be nice.
And if New England wins, like, thinking about this game tonight, after they play the Jets, they play the Niners, which is a little tougher. But
yep.
Dolphins, Texans, Jaguars, Jets again, Titans. We get to watch New England's entire season play out before they play the Bills, which will be in week like 16 or 15. It's crazy. So Patriots could have a whole, wow, look, they're scrappy, and then fall apart before they meet the Bills. So that's Thursday Night Football. That's exciting. Sabres camp. All right. You want to start? You want to start there for a minute?
Sure.
Darlene's hurt,
and it happened like 90 seconds into the first practice of the season.
All right, so
which like
only
come on, man.
It can only get better from here.
Yeah,
it can only get better now.
I told you this before we started. Like the first 5 minutes on the air, practice started at 9, and I'm on the air talking to Paul, and Paul's talking, and I've got Twitter open, and I've got two tweets next to each other. One is, Darlene has left the ice, and the other one is, Krebs just hit Thompson, and Thompson is laboring going over to the bench. And I just, like, I almost want to laugh. Like, this team, they might not be very good with decision-making, and haven't been, there have been many times during this drought where they have not been, but are they also cursed at the same time? Do I have both things happening where... They're making decisions that aren't really helping them, and also they're cursed because their best two players were maybe injured within the first 5 minutes, but I guess Thompson's fine. But Darlene maybe is fine. Lindy did say it was precaution, but
okay.
I don't know, weird. He said he made a pass, and then something didn't feel right, so they left as a precaution. Making a pass feels like the action in hockey with the least physical exertion possible, right?
Maybe. What if it's like, I'll speculate wildly, like an oblique, right?
Okay.
Something didn't feel right after I did that.
When I heard that, I'm like, I wonder if it was like his appendix or something. I don't know. Mid-body injury. What does that mean?
Lindy laughing. Oblique.
Oblique is mid-body? Okay, that's right.
Maybe his appendix is bothering his oblique.
All right.
One of his obliques.
But, like, come on, man. Like, the guy they're going to announce as captain probably, like, any day and is their best player just the second they step on the ice for the season.
One thing about Darlene is captain, best player, arguably maybe your most important player. A thing that cannot happen for him this year, he cannot lead them in points again.
Okay.
Deal?
He led them.
He led them in points last year with 60.
Yeah, 59.
59? Okay, 59.
Yeah.
That can't happen again.
I would definitely want to agree
with that. If he were to get to 80 to 90, it would be more. But if the Sabres are going to be good, isn't there so much attention paid to the fourth line and the bottom six and tougher to play against? But if this team wants to be good, they need one of the forwards to get back up to 100 points. That's the league, right? We're not hearing, I don't think, we're hearing a lot of everybody eats from the Sabres. You know, it's kind of borrowing the Bills mantra right now, which has been working nicely. and applying it to the Sabres, which, no. I need two top lines, defined top lines that are going to score, put the puck in the net, and I need Tage to be the team's leading scorer, or Paterka, or Cousins, or, you know, you pick who.
But it's got to be a dynamic guy up front that's putting up 90-plus points.
Yeah, if you're going to be any good, you have to have a great forward. At least one, or at least someone. And I think they do have really a couple of really good forwards. The question is, who's going to be the person that has the year that gets them there? A couple years ago, when they got really close, Tage had that year. And they missed out by a point or two. So, to get back there, whenever anybody asks me, and I got asked yesterday, the Sabres going to be good? I hope so. Well, I hope so. They're going to need to find those guys that do that.
Yeah, because that's my biggest concern right now is, okay, you're better in the bottom six. Okay, Lindy's here. So are you going to be more buttoned up defensively? And your goaltending looks pretty good.
Sound, at least.
Yeah.
At worst, you've got a body of work from one guy and another guy that's looked pretty good. Like, yeah, you're sound.
It's all right. Like, I look better in those areas than maybe I have in the past. You're going to be able to score goals? You gonna be able to score goals?
I hope so.
Because
is your power play gonna be fixed?
Who do I trust right now to do that? Who do I absolutely trust is gonna show up and score goals for this hockey team next year?
Me, Paterka, and Quinn.
Oh, is that it?
Thompson. I feel like I should trust.
Okay, three guys, maybe four, maybe three. Maybe it is only three. Do I know Alex Tuch's gonna score 28 goals for them this year? I don't know. I don't know how much I could trust that. I have no idea how much I could trust Cousins to score goals for this hockey team, because last year it did not look good at all. And I don't. My third line got, like, I don't have Mittelstadt anymore in the secondary scoring department. Benson, like, I've got ifs.
Yep.
It kind of feels like the Bills receiving core in a way. Although I don't think the Bills receiving core has a Tage, which is, I might have a guy that is a true number one center. If he is 90% of what he was 2 years ago, he's a number one center in the National Hockey League, right? He was a top 10 center probably in the league that year.
Yep.
And I probably need that. Like, that's a high bar to clear, but I think you need Thompson to be that. Maybe Paterka is good enough to be, like, their best forward and be, like, a star-level player in the league. But I don't know how many of these other guys are, man, this guy can be on the par with, you know, when the all-star voting comes up and it's Matthews and it's Marner and it's Tkachuk and it's Pastrnak, like, the elite forwards of this division, who amongst the Sabres is, like, on that list? Like, I think Thompson might be the only one that's capable of it. So I feel like I need him to score 40 or more goals this year.
Yeah,
and their power play needs to not be like bottom five in the league.
Right. There's always something that sticks with me as a way to say it instead of, well, you've got this guy and this guy and this guy. What's going to set them apart? What do they have that's going to set them apart? A lot of teams think they have their goaltending in check. A lot of teams think they have answers to their problems from last year. What's going to set them apart? And that's where, you know, Tage is probably the number one guy I'll look to this year. If he was hurt all of last year or nursing an injury, a nagging injury, whatever it was, like, it's got to be. Is it asking too much to say I need my highlight reel Tage goals back? Because when he was, like you said, maybe a top 10 center in the league, I got nightly highlights.
Yeah.
All impressive goals. All amazing. Only amazing goals.
It really was amazing. There wasn't like it went off his leg.
Only amazing goals. And last year, that really wasn't the same. The dangling, the dancing on the head of a pin, the making guys look foolish. And you could say, well, teams maybe started to pay more attention to that. But, man, it took a long time for them to figure out that he was going to make them look stupid. And he did it all the time. With the wingspan, the reach, all that. He was incredible. One of the more exciting players in the NHL to watch.
Yeah. Isn't Paterka's presence on that line supposed to maybe help that along?
Like, I think it will an awful lot.
You know,
Paterka on that line's a big deal.
Because you might hear more often someone like a Jordan Greenway by hockey coaches label, like, oh, he'll create space for his line mates, right? Which I don't even really think that ever works in practice. What might create space for Tage Thompson is somebody else on that line that teams have to, like, oh, guys, we got to focus on him too over here. 77 flying up the wall at a million miles an hour could score by himself. Like, we can't really focus all this on Thompson because this guy over here might also be doing that for me.
Right.
And Skinner scored 20 goals last year, but was Skinner someone that other teams were worrying about on the ice? On that line last year, like, I'm hopeful Paterka can help that. And that line, that might be what helps set you apart, is I might need that line to be, like, one of the best lines in hockey.
Well, when they almost made it 2 years ago, they had a line
that was one of the best lines in
hockey.
That
looked like, or at least played like, one of the best lines in hockey.
Yeah.
Or best Sabres line we've seen in a while.
Yeah, that's right.
Is there any, I was thinking about a word for this last night. Is there any feeling to you, this would be voodoo all the way, that the curse will be lifted by two things? One, Lindy's return and Tyler Ennis's retirement. Ennis retired. The Sabres tweeted that out last night, Tyler Ennis announcing his retirement. Maybe you didn't know he was still, you know, attempting to play and bouncing around. He scored their last game-winning playoff goal.
Yes, he did. And he no longer plays hockey.
And he did it as a young man.
I
was thinking about Ennis's career with the Sabres. When Ennis came up, he was really good in the Boston series, right?
Yeah, like as a teenager, right?
Yes.
Like right away.
It was a spark. He gave them a spark. And that was one of those seasons where they had a good year. Vanek ends up getting hurt. And they go out and we say, why on earth is your best player a young guy? Right? It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
I don't think it was Gerby that year. I think it is Ennis. It really is. Like he was.
I think
one of
it might have been both of them. But okay. It was definitely Ennis.
Yeah. In the playoff, I'll pull up his playoff stats that year. He might have been like a couple of goals. But Ennis came.
I got it. 4 points in six games.
In the playoffs.
After 9 points in 10 regular season games, by the way. Yeah.
So young guy comes up and gives them a spark. Here's a fun question. When is the last time that happened?
That a young guy
comes up late in the season
from
Rochester,
right.
And it's like, hey, here you go. He's good.
Mm-hmm.
When's your last call up to make a real difference?
Isn't that tough because this team has been putting them in the lineup on day one?
That's a little bit true.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Levi.
Levi.
That's good.
Straight to the pros. He was in Rochester. I mean, a developmental Rochester guy.
Okay. He was in college and then showed up.
But this is
with
to your
seven
point.
Games left.
Eichel, Reinhart. Benson,
Paterka, and Quinn. Well, Paterka and Quinn didn't get called up the year they were in Rochester.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. I mean, a guy in Rochester good enough to come up and make a difference. And that's been a long time since they've had that happen.
Do you know who that was before Ennis? Didn't that happen with Drew Stafford in 07? Or was that just because they were all. Didn't they have a million injuries that year?
Maybe. I feel like Stafford was here.
16 years to think of examples, though. That's the point, though, isn't it?
But going back
16 years to find another example of, like, hey, a guy that showed up late and helped them.
Right.
I think that did happen.
Using a farm system, being interested in who came up, how that player was going to help the roster, how they'd help the team. It's just been, and you could say that's about organizational depth or a lot of different things, but it's been a while. So anyway.
Are you thinking of, is that going to be Yuri Kulik this year?
Maybe.
Or do you just need somebody to do it?
Will they call people up to play? I mean, Lucas Rusek has been their call-up of late. And maybe it's...
Right, which is like he's 24 and like a bottom six guy. So like, even that. It would be Kulik for me. I need any of them, right? Like, I am worn out by all the prospects of 15 years and the Sabres being ranked... How many seven times in the last 13 years during this drought is like the number one prospect pool in the league? Like, I'm kind of worn out from that. Like, I want to see it work to that, like you just talked about, where that influx is a little extra thing that pushes you over the edge. And even Benson last year, that was cool that he made the team and looked pretty good. Like, he was on the penalty kill at 19, 18. Like, guys usually don't show up and are a mature two-way player like that. But I didn't really get offense. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really get major impact on a night-to-night basis. That's what you want to see. That's what, you know, I just needed to happen one time where a Yuri Kulik shows up, who I didn't expect to make the team out of training camp, and then he scores 25 goals. But I don't know. I'm not holding my breath waiting for that to happen now. He might open the season for them. By the way, like it's game one is in his home country. I wonder if they'll put him on the ice just because of that.
And because of that trip, they'll probably bring more players than they normally would.
I think they can bring four more.
Yeah. So you kind of have to avoid reading too much into who they bring.
Yeah.
Because they'll bring more. So they might bring Kulik and then say, all right, once we're back in Buffalo, he goes back down. Training camp. open for the Sabres. Paul Hamilton, 7:30, to give us the latest on that. Are they going to be good? I don't know. Maybe.
You know, have you heard what they're over? Know what their over under is?
I would guess their over under on points is 87.5.
He's good. It's 87.5.
Wow,
right on the mark.
I mean,
yep.
You could close your eyes any of the last 8 years and say I think it's like an 87.5.
They've in the last eight. There've been some. They're probably in the '70s. A lot of those.
They
years,
had a couple.
They?
Post tank, it was like 76 or all something, right. Or 81.
I mean,
they haven't often reached 87, so that is a bit of a bold number.
Yeah, it really is though. Like 87.5, you are only like 3 wins above your expectation from being a playoff team. Maybe four, yeah. Right? Like depending on the year. Like it's not Montreal's maybe a team like this. I was looking at the overrunner state. Their overrunner is like 75. Like that's a team where that'd have to be a major shock. Like, out of left field. Sabres are still, like, the expectation is, yeah, they'll be pretty good. Be a 500 hockey team, right? Like, a little bit above that. Team that's in the race in the final weeks of the season, but maybe not in the last week of the season. It does feel like they just have to be, you talked about this last year, do they even have to be a couple wins above expectation? They just have to make overtime a couple more times.
I mean, that's what would have done it 2 years ago. Or last year, that would have helped a lot. They didn't make overtime. One of the things I say about that is teams or people tend to focus on the wrong part of it. Loser points are, you know, treated like it's not good and fake. But loser points are more real than overtime win points. You earn those at 5-on-5. And if the Sabres could earn more loser points by playing teams to a tie, then yeah. Last year they had 7 of those. Toronto had 11. Like seven overtime losses.
We still have to figure out what like style they're going to play too, right?
Yeah, it's
like how wide open they're going to be, how lock it down defensive that they're going to be. So, Lindy has been, depending on his team, very different. Right? There have been Sabre teams that were locked. New Jersey 2 years ago was wide open, speed and skill and up and down the ice. Maybe a little more buttoned up than it was here, but...
Well, how much does that style change if, in fact, you're missing Darlene for a period of time? That could dictate a lot.
Yep.
803-0550. We'll spend some time in the Sabres today. We'll talk to Paul in an hour. Maybe get into some stuff about like which players are most important this year. Who you want to see something from. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Owen Power's name, but I think he's high on that list for me.
Mm-hmm.
About what can Lindy do for the development of Power. Granato did a lot for development of players. Is Lindy going to continue development for some of these guys? Bring out more. So Lindy Ruff is back. Sabre season is approaching. They have their first preseason game in 2 days, Saturday.
They will play a game at KeyBank Center before the next time they play a game at Highmark Stadium.
I'm ready for Monday Night Football. I'm excited.
I'm very happy also it's 7:30 and not 8:30.
Yeah, that's great. That's,
love
that's
that
great
it's
news.
7:30.
All right, 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. When we get back, I want to give you the stat that is the unstoppable force against the immovable object, that is Bills Jaguars. What do the Jags do that is really going to put the Bills to the test and showcase a strength of the Bills? That's next.
I think the league is growing, it's changing, evolving, if you will, as well. And rosters are built in some ways maybe a little bit different than they used to be built. And schematics have changed a little bit as well. So I think with that, you're seeing the game change then as well.
Sean McDermott, big story in the NFL about defense and how defense is being played. And I enjoy this conversation quite a bit. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. I like it a lot because it's like there's the chess match of offense versus defense is happening in real time, and there's a conversation about a sea change, how running the ball is the thing, and the return of the run game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the more interesting things about this happening, as we watch it happen in real time, Joe, is how you say it determines how you perceive it. And what I mean by that is, if you just say, like, running the ball's back, I mean, if these cover two shells, and there's a lot more specific ways to say it than that, than blanket statements. I mean, running the ball's back, that you should run it. A lot of these teams are running it more. The Bills are more run-heavy. That's okay. The whole league is, you know, mm-hmm. And that's true. But one way I think that can change the way you look at it if you want to be ahead of the curve, right? Because the curve is now back towards running more.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get ahead of that? you find answers to what the defenses are doing. And Kevin Cole from the Unexpected Points podcast, he's got a couple things on this that I find interesting. Not that he's pushing back against the idea that this is happening in the NFL, but more so what it really means. And what I gather from it is simply this. Do you remember the game when the Bills played the Chiefs during COVID here? And the Bills played a type of defense was, we dare you to run it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's 4 years ago now?
Yes. Yeah. The entire league is now doing that.
Mm-hmm.
We dare you to run it. Now, get to the next part of the question. Why? Answer. Because defensive coordinators are smart too. And we can sit here and talk about the analytics of expected points added, blah, 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 blah. What have defenses figured out? The same things that offenses figured out. Gave you the stats earlier in the year as the Bills are looking for explosive plays. We need explosive plays. You're 10 times more likely to score points on a drive with an explosive play.
Hmm.
I'm a defensive coordinator. Oh, is that right? 10 times more likely? So I'm 10 times more likely to keep you off the board if I don't give up an explosive play?
Right.
Okay, I'm going to cover the pass.
Hmm. And the deep pass, maybe,
yes,
in particular.
Yeah. I'm going to make you dink and dunk me all the way down the field.
Yeah.
And if I can take it a little farther, okay, if now everybody does that, if everybody has decided the best way to play defense is to not give up explosive plays, forget about, you don't have to stop the run, you invite the run.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last 5 years, how are teams running the ball? A little bit better, unless you remove quarterback runs, and then it's about the same. Running backs are running for about the same as they did 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could go...
So you're actually paying almost less attention to the run, but you're actually doing just as good of a job at stopping.
You're inviting it.
The running back running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're inviting it. You're less afraid of an explosive play in the run game. And teams are saying, like, okay, I mean, yes, I'll take these yards. And going back all the way to the beginning, which was the Bills' plan against the Chiefs that day, the plan was, let's keep it close. We don't think we can stop him passing the ball. Let's see what happens if we invite them to run the ball. And after that game, a game the Bills lost, it was treated a little bit like a success. They kept the Chiefs to a low number of points and stayed in the game. And if you're playing the Bills, what are you trying to do? Let's have them hand the ball off a lot. I don't want Josh Allen touching the ball. When the Bills played the Chiefs in the playoff game, right? What was it? It was them asking the Bills to go 13 plays, 15 plays, 17 plays.
Mm-hmm.
You are playing defense now the way the Bills have played defense for 7 years, which is, if you're going to score on us, it's going to take you 12 plays.
Mm-hmm.
And you're either going to make a mistake, we're going to get to your quarterback, there's going to be a penalty, you're not beating us with an explosive. So it's kind of interesting how this is all going. Now, the unstoppable force against the immovable object. The Bills are better than anybody in the last 7 years in passing efficiency, defense. They stop teams. In comes Jacksonville, 0-2. You mentioned this probably last week.
Yep.
Jacksonville, number one in the NFL in explosive play rate.
Yep.
Wait till they play the Bills. What would you anticipate happens?
I think it's going to be in the bottom. Is it going to be in the bottom 10 by next week?
Are they going to get their explosive plays against the Bills? No one gets explosive plays against the Bills in like 7 years.
Right. They really were on the forefront of this. That's not a stretch, right?
No, like, no. Nickel defense all the time.
Nickel defense at every play, like never running three linebackers out there.
Yeah.
Even the day they showed up, they weren't doing that.
Nickel as your base, and maybe we get hit with a run occasionally, but we are going to bet that it won't work for you. And they have been right the whole time.
Right. Because it's just you don't even remember big plays, like passes, at least passes over the top. You can remember some yak plays.
You can remember some run plays.
Yeah, and run plays.
Don't they have more? Can you look this up? Do they have more 50-yard runs against than 50-yard passes against?
Oh, I think they definitely
do. The number's got to be close.
I think they definitely do. I mean, Breece Hall had one last year, right?
Derrick Henry had one.
Dalvin Cook
had one. Achane had one. Damian Harris had one.
You said the Dalvin Cook one? That was like an 80-yard touchdown run.
If you want to make it 50, make it 50. Make it 60, make it 60. But
even what are the pass plays that I think of that come to mind is like giant pass. I remember one Jalen Waddle play. One Jalen Waddle play.
I remember an A.J. Green play in Trey's rookie year.
Okay, that's a million years
ago.
I was going to say like Tyreek Hill in the playoffs, but those are 10-yard passes that he just runs away from everybody.
Yeah.
And he only has maybe two of them in like 10 meetings against the Bills, really. So, yeah, I'll look, but I would, I guarantee you that there are going to be more big runs than there are passes.
More on this in a minute. I want to ask Sal about this at the top of the hour, too, because if you go far enough down this rabbit hole, a phrase comes to mind that I want to ask about for football, and that is neutral zone trap. You remember that, hockey fans?
Yep.
It ruined the sport.
Yeah. The dead puck era was because of that.
Yeah. They figured out a way to, like, you know what? Forget it. Traffic in front.
Yep.
Let's kill this sport offensively. And that's not exactly what's happening here, but played out long enough. It's the shift. Is it not the shift? We are going to bet where you're going to hit the ball, and we're going to put the guys where you hit the ball. This is defenses placing a bet. You will want to run it because we will give you run looks.
Right.
You have to run into this. You're going to want to run into this.
That, though, I mean, the hockey one made it unwatchable. Is that what's happening in football?
No.
Is watchability... last week wasn't great football, right? Sunday, I watched a lot of football on Sunday. It was fine, right? Like, but there wasn't a lot of scoring. There wasn't a lot of big point totals. There was a lot of bad quarterbacking, too, which is a part of this, right?
Yep.
There's a lot of bad football.
I think that's another big part of it.
The NFL, though, is also very, I feel like, proactive on stuff like this, right? Like, if scoring goes way down, the league does something, right? By next year's owners' meetings, they are changing rules if it were to go way down.
Yeah,
I mean, I
don't know. I don't know. It's fun to watch the back and forth, but to treat, instead of just saying, oh, running is back, what's happened, I think, is defenses are saying, we would like you to run it, please. And that's different. Yes, that's running is back. That is a little different. We'll get some calls in here. 803-0550. If you have a thought on this, 1-888-550-2550. Gina in Delaware. Gina, on a Thursday, not a Friday call? We're honored to have you a day early.
No, I'm honored for y'all to take me because I'm sure the Bills Mafia is quite tired of hearing me call in all the time. But what I'm trying to say is this. Yes, I'm so nervous, guys. I'm nervous, okay? I've got questions for you. Number one, where's your Woosaw meter on Monday? Because mine is, okay, it's a Jacksonville team coming in. Trevor Lawrence, man, he's hungry. It's Monday Night Football, big stage. You know, they want to upset us. They want to mix up our Woosaw, okay? So there's my answer to what the question is. My Woosaw meter is maybe like halfway. So I want to know that answer to you. Then the second question I have is, what team are you concerned about this year? Is there any team that we're playing on our schedule that you guys are like, nah, we got this? Because this was our reset year? Really? Question mark? Like, oh my God, everybody's eating, we're doing well, we got this good momentum going. Like, I'm super excited. I was cautious when the season started because of what we had in front of us, as I said earlier. But now look at us, guys, okay? But let's just keep one thing in mind. I want to make sure we have our piece of humble pie ready. Because at some point, guys, we got to have that piece of pie ready. I don't know when that piece of pie has got to be eaten.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to ride this train, and I'm ready to say, Bills by a billion, baby, because I ain't worrying about anybody.
All right.
So let's have a good week, and let's go, Bill.
Thanks, Gina.
Thanks, Gina.
I don't think this is a trap game because I think Jacksonville is plenty accomplished. I think they're poorly coached.
That is Joe Marino. Yesterday I asked him about the Jaguars and he got right into it is situational football for them, and that he even went as far as to say, like, I think everything just kind of fell right for him when he made the Super Bowl and won it.
Peterson?
Like, Peterson does not have things buttoned up, and the Jaguars probably don't have a very good coach right now.
So
they've lost 7 of 8.
Right. I mean, it's really fallen apart for them.
Lawrence has lost 7 in a row. The one game they won, he didn't even play.
That's right. C.J. Beathard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, on this point about the Jaguars, like, their game against Cleveland, red zone is killing them. The Bills are tied for 4th in red zone. The Jaguars in 18th. Last week against the Browns, they had a 1st and goal at the 2 and came away with 3 points from the 2. They got another trip to the red zone and missed a field goal. They got another trip to the red zone inside the 10, like a 2nd and goal or 2nd and 2 wing type. They came away with a field goal. 3 trips to the 15-yard line, and they got 6 points.
mm-hmm. against the Browns, who are a good defense. I think they're a pretty good defense. So, I mean, I if the Bills were to lose this game, I would not be stunned, and I would not be brought off of any sort of, well, I guess it was all a mirage. I mean, last year's Bills team lost six games. The best Bills teams...
Including games that were weird that you would have never predicted they lost.
The best Bills teams of the last 5-6 years, what's the fewest amount of games they lost? Is it six? They always find a way to lose a couple of games here and there. The 13 seconds here, they're...
Were they 7-6?
7-6. You know, so you're going to have your losses in there. It's a long season. And Jacksonville has enough teeth for me. What kind of team would I be worried about? I want to see this team against a really good defense when the game script doesn't go right for them. You know, Arizona does not have a good defense. And Miami, the game script went horribly for the Dolphins' defense. They had to defend short fields twice. They gave a pick six. I mean, the Bills had their day running the ball, and that's fine. But we'll see how they do against a better defense when maybe they get tested, maybe Allen gets pressured, maybe the receivers aren't creating separation in the same way. So when you ask, who do I want to see them against? You know, that might be Jacksonville, whose defense looks like it's okay.
On your losses point real quick, there's a bit of a trend here, though, with the Bills.
They always lose early.
Starting at 2019 and working your way to present day, their losses by year, 6-3, 6-3, 6.
Okay, it's a three-loss year.
It's a three-loss year.
Lock it in.
They go every other.
Perfect.
When we come back also, I've got the answer on those big plays against the Bills. It's almost right on the mark for what we're talking about. The 10 longest plays against McDermott's defense.
All right. Hey there, Jeremy and Joe. Let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. You have the 10 biggest plays against Sean McDermott defenses.
Yes. Let's play a little game of do you remember? Also, again, keep in mind what kind of plays these are.
Yep.
64 yards and up. Damian Harris for 64-yard touchdown.
Hurricane game.
Yep. Miles Sanders, 65-yard touchdown run.
Oh, I don't remember. Must that
they got
the Philly game?
Blown out by the Eagles.
Oh, the Carson Wentz one. Okay.
The Carson Wentz one. Yep. Raheem Mostert, 67-yard run.
Okay.
This was in 2022. Tua to Jalen Waddle for 67-yard touchdown. We all remember that one, right?
That's with Jaquan Johnson and DeMar Hamlin in Miami that day.
Yep.
Okay.
Sam Darnold to Jamison Crowder for 69-yard touchdown.
Catch and run. That's a short across the middle. He found a spot and went all the way.
Yep. It does say short here, too.
Yep.
Taylor Heinicke to Antonio Gibson for 73-yard touchdown.
Screenplay.
Screen. Yeah. So basically a run.
Yep.
Derrick Henry, 76-yard touchdown.
Yep.
Andy Dalton to A.J. Green for 77-yard touchdown.
Trey's rookie year.
Yep. Dalvin Cook, 81-yard touchdown. And then Breece Hall last year, 83 yards. So that's their 10 longest plays given up under Sean McDermott. How many of those were like over-the-top passes?
One.
Two.
Two? What was the second one?
Waddle and A.J. Green.
A.J. Green so long ago, I didn't want to count it. Two.
Everything else was run. Everything else was the running back.
Yep.
Or you know, it was a short pass or a screen or a run.
Yeah.
That is insane.
The Bills against the deep pass, the Bills against explosive plays in the passing game have been incredible for a long time. Maybe we should be less surprised by what this defense has done through 2 weeks. Test coming, though, Monday, Jacksonville. They've got explosive plays this year. They're not finishing. We'll chat with Sal about practice yesterday, where the Bills are, get ready for Bills-Jags. Paul Hamilton, 7:30, recapping the first day of Sabres practice. Howard picks the Bills, Scott Pianowski, and I've got to tell you about a brand new golf game I learned about. Fun game to play with a group out there. Jeremy and Joe on a Thursday here on WGR.